Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe. Life is a fight.
It is.
In business, every day is a fight.
So true.
So, hey, what's your problem?
Thank you, John David Wells. Big voice guy. Check him out at the Wells Report on Facebook. From the Big Dot HQ in Spring Hill, Tennessee, this is the What's Your Problem podcast coming out of the Big Dot building, the compound here. Check us out at BigDotLighting.com and BigDotElectrical.com. And, of course, WhatsYourProblemPodcast.com. This is a podcast about Middle Tennessee business owners and professionals who are having issues, problems. And I warn you, if you're coming on the show and you don't have a problem for me, I'm going to call bullsh. I should probably let you know that ahead of time, that you have to have a problem already stocked, which is something I've been missing the mark on. But oh well. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with JimMcCarthyVoiceOvers.com. And today, we're kind of getting political lately. We've had the mayor of Spring Hill, who's got a few days left in office. Wouldn't mind getting the newly elected mayor, Mr. Hageman, coming on at one point. But today we've got fellow Spring Hillian, a Ramsey Solutions professional, a Burtonwood Homeowners Association board member, and newly elected alderman of Spring Hill, Mr. Jason Cox. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I usually have an applause button that goes off, but it comes up on the same thing as the music, so I try to keep the music energy moving. So there's applause, trust me.
Gotcha.
Jason, before we get started, one of the things I like to do is something that is called the Random Five, which are Random Five questions that kind of get everything going, the juices flowing and all that fun stuff. Truly random questions, believe it or not. So, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Jason, usually I have my computer right here, but I'm going off of this one, so I'm going to be pivoting quite a bit. What villain do you really feel for?
Man, that's a great question.
I have one already loaded. Those who know me know who it's probably going to be.
Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw? I'm not familiar with it.
From Inspector Gadget.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Misunderstood, you think?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Thanos.
Okay.
I think he's misunderstood.
Gotcha.
Although he could have snapped and increased everything, he decided to reduce everything. But there you go. All right, next question. Where do you get your recommendations for what to do and where to stay when you travel?
Usually what I do, actually, my mother works for Hilton Properties, so it's real easy for me to jump online and take a look at the Hilton properties in the area, and that's usually where I'm picking, because I enjoy them.
Ooh, you got the inside pickup. The hookup, right?
Yes, sir.
Nice. Question number three, what songs can you sing that I'll know after hearing two words from the song?
Happy birthday.
I'm still trying to process that question. It just goes to show you these are truly random. You see me clicking the button over here, okay? I don't know what's coming up next. Which season are you most active in?
Summertime.
Summertime. What do you like doing?
Oh, man, I'm outside with the kids. I got three boys, and we do sports.
And finally, I think this is number five. What are three occupations that machines will soon replace?
Machines will soon replace.
Yes.
I'm wondering, let's see, making pizzas.
I can see that.
Cash register, a teller.
Yeah.
You know, at the grocery store. We're already partway there, but I think we're going there.
A little bit more.
Yep.
Yeah. I could see that.
Third one. I think we're almost there, but I think a fully operational car wash will be, we won't have anybody spraying, wiping it down. It'll just be fully.
Just automated.
Automated.
It's kind of, it's kind of already there as it is.
Yep.
We deal a lot with car washes. That was the Random Five brought to you by the GSD Academy. If you need to get your life in order and your business life in order and start blocking out your time, Angela Proffitt does a great job, and she's done it so well in her own business in the past. She's gone ahead and created an entire course now for you. Check it out. Links in the description, GSDacademy.com. So there you go. We were just talking about the car washes. Some of the, we've been doing a lot of dealings with car washes as of late with the Octave Light. And what we have found is that's a passionate group of people, man. Those people who operate and run car washes, they are really into it. Yeah. It's very interesting. So I, other than that aspect, I'm not sure. You know, the robotic ass, you know, it's all automated. Once you put a car on the track, it's going to go through and do its thing. But until then, you know, I think we might already have, we've had that in the past. Like gas stations have had automated yep. car washes. Yep. So you've got a lot going on, man.
Yeah,
you're a busy man.
Yes, sir.
I've seen you. You're on the board with me because we're both sharing and serving on the board for Burton Wood. Then I see you put a thing out about running for alderman. I'm going, what is this guy thinking? But tell your backstory. Where do you come from?
So moved up, moved down from Michigan, born and raised in Michigan. And, you know, after starting a family in Michigan, my wife and I started to look at opportunities where the weather was a little bit nicer.
Right.
We were getting sick of the cold winters, and the kids were not quite old enough yet to where they had developed those strong relationships. So we knew if we were going to make a move, we better do it soon. Mm-hmm. So started looking around, and Tennessee kind of jumped out at us, and I started looking online at best places to live in Middle Tennessee.
Right.
Spring Hill was listed. So that was the start of it.
And we Nashville
started moving,
area.
Yeah. Started moving our way down.
What did you do up in Michigan?
I worked for a company right out of college called Thomson Reuters, and did a lot of business analytics, business intelligence, financial operations, really worked kind of behind the scenes for a large corporation.
Right on. All the business analytics type of stuff, which includes what? Like what does that entail?
So business analytics or business intelligence, basically taking data, sales data, things that are being running through our order to cash system and making useful reports and forecasting and predicting out of it so that sales teams, customer service teams can be prepared to make the best decisions.
So you could tell, like, behavioral patterns of consumers, things of that nature.
Yes.
That's amazing. How big of a company do you have to be in order to start doing that?
Oh, I mean, you can do it. It's not necessarily how big of a company, but maybe after a few years of collecting data or depending on how large your sales volumes are. Yeah. Once you have the data, then you can start doing the forecasting and the predicting.
Well, but how do you get the data?
Once you start selling. Oh. So, you know, you start out small. You're a new business. You start selling. And then as you start to build that pipeline, you build that customer base, you get those analytics. Now you can start to do something with them.
Right. So this leads you, I mean, to a life in politics, obviously. I mean, how does that, so that what you got brought down here through the Ramsey Empire, and how did that play out?
Well, while I was in Michigan, following the Dave Ramsey plan,
right.
I started a side business doing financial coaching, mm-hmm. utilizing the Ramsey Solutions principles. And honestly, my wife finally said, look, you know what? We want to move. We want to go south. And you're already doing all of the Dave Ramsey stuff. Why don't you look there?
Right.
So I said, all right, you know what? I'll go to the website. I'll set up a filter on jobs that might come in. And I said, I'll go ahead and apply. The worst thing that can happen is I go all the way through. And if I get to the end, I can always say no, right? And she's like, yeah. So we went through the whole process, but we got to the end and we said yes.
It's a rigorous interviewing process, right?
Yes. Very long, very.
It's like nine interviews or something?
Yeah, there's a lot, but, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, and it's a great process. We have some great people there.
You know, and I was telling you before we went on with this, but my background with Dave goes back to 2001-02, somewhere in there. I was working for CBS Radio at the time, doing talk radio, production director. A lot of the stuff you see me do now with voiceover, production, video, things like that. And I used to see him advertise in the trade papers. the radio trades for his show, which was still kind of budding at the time. Mm-hmm. Very cool to see how it played out. I mean, my program director at the time knew Dave because he worked in Nashville at, previously before I got to know him. And he said, I remember when he was buying time on WSM over in Opryland, I guess, with his partner at the time. Yeah. So he started out small buying brokered airtime on the weekends. It's crazy to see how big that sucker got, isn't it?
It's awesome.
How do you like working for him?
Well, I love it. I mean, I've been there almost 3 years now, and 100% supportive organization.
Big on culture.
Yeah. We've got an outstanding HR team. The culture is fantastic. I'll tell you, one of the biggest things coming from corporate America and sitting in on meetings and trying to make sure you're prepared and you're worried that somebody might snap at you. Coming down here, working at Ramsey Solutions, sitting in on a meeting, man, I'll tell you, it's completely different. We're all there supporting one another. We're there to get things done. We're serious, but I mean, it's a completely different environment.
It's just like more chill, right?
It's chill.
Yeah. Cordial.
Yeah.
Hospitable.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's funny, when we moved to Vegas from Connecticut, because I'm originally from Connecticut, Connecticut and Michigan might as well be the same, weather-wise, attitude-wise, people-wise. My brother lives in Michigan, so he never really changed. I was able to see the dichotomy of cultures from Connecticut to southern Nevada, which at the time was a very affordable place to live back in 01. People could make less and have really good qualities of life out there. So, and it reflected in how they conducted themselves. They weren't frickin' miserable, okay? Mm-hmm. In Connecticut, everyone was miserable. We moved to Vegas, they talk to you, and they wave, and they actually, you know, in the grocery checkout line, they'll actually talk to you, which is kind of odd, you know? Yeah. Did you experience that moving here?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, and I'll give you a good example. Going through and running for alderman, mm-hmm. I came in after the election results, and my team had stayed back waiting until they heard the results, and my desk area was fully decorated with balloons, streamers, candy,
right.
Bottle of champagne, congratulations. I mean, that just doesn't happen everywhere.
Right. So why do you go out and run for alderman? You come down here, you got a good job, you put yourself on the board for whatever reason. God bless you. You know, we're all nuts at some level. But now you go and run for another thing where all of a sudden people, you're the target of people's frustration, right? I mean, typically, is that what you're expecting?
Well, I mean, you're
going to... No one told me about that. Wait a minute.
Well, I've been out on Facebook long enough to see what's going on.
Right.
But, I mean, I was looking for ways to get more involved. So, right. Like you said, you know, I volunteered for the board, and then I coached Spring Hill Hawks.
Right.
And
yeah, you're doing soccer coaching at... Oh, my dude. Yeah. You're spinning plates. I forgot about the soccer coaching, too, because you coached my daughter.
Yep. Yep.
That's crazy.
You know, it was just, I wanted to do more. So yeah. Where can I make the biggest impact? So I started looking and came across the Facebook post that Amy Wirth, whose seat I'm actually taking over because she stepped down.
Right.
She had posted about, is anybody interested in running for alderman or mayor? Right. Here's what you have to do. Great PDF set up about all the different things that you need to do. And I sat down with my wife and I said, all right, this looks like a great opportunity. And I started by first talking with the alderman. Tell me what it's like. Tell me what day to day is. I need to know what's going on. Then started talking to the city staff, learning about them. And as I learned more and more, it was clear, like, this is the right thing. This is where I need to be.
Right. So what were your reasons going into it? What made you, just other than just wanting to get involved? What did you see needed to be changed or maintained?
Well, one of the things I wanted to do as the type of person I am, I wanted to be more involved in the decision making, but I also had some things like, you know, obviously we look at infrastructure and traffic in yeah. Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. So starting to learn where that is today or where it was and wanting to be leading that. I want to make sure that we're doing that properly and we're planning it properly. Also, just getting in front of, and this will tie into the problem, yeah. but littering in Spring Hill.
Interesting.
That's something.
Well, you're saying that there's a traffic problem in Spring Hill?
A little bit. I haven't noticed. A little bit. Yeah. Unless you're driving in the middle of the night, you may run into a few cars.
Could we get some speed bumps authorized for Burtonwood going through the freeway? We've always been told that they couldn't do it because of emergency vehicles. I'm like, well, you know, the emergency vehicles shouldn't be speeding either. So,
well, you know, there's a lot of technology out there where you can make the right kind of bump where a fire truck can still get through. So maybe we can do that.
The gradual speed hump, you know, not the curb that you put in the middle of the road, but the hump.
Yeah.
Make it uncomfortable.
That's the first time I had ever seen those referred to as speed humps is when I came down here and it made me chuckle.
Yeah. Yeah. In other areas of the country, it means an entirely different thing. Maybe some roundabouts. Maybe put some roundabouts in Burtonwood.
There we go. Yeah.
So traffic and littering.
Yeah.
I didn't notice littering was much of a problem.
Well, I mean, it definitely ties into some of the new development we have going on. So as things are accelerating, you know, we're going to see trash. And, you know, some of the things that I've been kind of tracking and noticing is if you walk up to some businesses and you look at the trash cans, just take a look at the trash cans. They're overflowing. Hmm. Why? Is it that the business isn't emptying the trash can?
You see that?
They have a contract with a company that maybe not be doing their job? But you know, just take a look. You go over to the crossings, walk around there a little bit. You're going to see some litter.
Well, we did in the last snowstorm. All of a sudden, the recycling wasn't, it was due to come that Friday. And because of the snow that came down, everything was put off. But, you know, eventually FedEx and UPS started picking up deliveries and making up for it. And then they said, well, we're going to skip that one Friday and not catch up. We'll just hold off until the next scheduled Friday. Yeah. Meanwhile, you can suffer with the overflowing garbage out of your garbage can. But, you know, and I'm going, that's what happens when you're not paid for in a meritocracy, when you're not paid for performance. You're getting yours no matter what every month. And yeah, that did not sit well with me and a lot of people at that.
Yeah, it was rough. I know coming from Michigan, we recycled every week, and coming down here when it was every other week, and you're trying to be a good citizen and you recycle, and with a family of five, we go through a lot of stuff.
Yes, so you do.
We fill that recycling bin by Wednesday.
Yeah. Of the week that it got picked up, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Got a lot of stuff recycling. So have you met with your fellow alderman, the BOMA, so far?
We have. So the way this will work is after they certify the election results, we should be sworn in as a new board on the 19th of April. And then we'll do our first sitting meeting on May 3rd.
Right.
I've talked with all of the three others that are going to be newcomers. All great people, great conversations, great ideas.
Now, Mayor Graham was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about he really wants to put together an initiative like helping you guys transition into the job, which I think is a good idea. Is that something that, because it never happened for him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard his story.
Well, we actually met with Mayor Graham. It was a little bit before I think he was on here, but he extended the offer to all of the candidates who were getting ready to possibly be elected. And we sat down for 2 hours on a Saturday at City Hall and talked about what it would be like, and just he was getting us prepared for what was coming, and very open, very honest, and it was fantastic.
What are the kind of scenarios you're anticipating that you might want to go, what the heck was I thinking? I'm sure it's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the things that will just come down to what I'll think is a clear decision, a clear yes. Mm-hmm. And we'll go off on a tangent talking about what, you know, some crazy little minute thing. And I've seen it happen in the past. I know when they tried to bring Chili's here one other time, they spent 45 minutes talking about the size of the sign, the actual pepper.
Right.
You know, there's going to be things like that pop up, but my personality might go in one direction and think, yep, this is going to be smooth sailing.
Are you kind of an efficiency guy? Okay, let's just take care of this. You know, what do we want to do here? Move on.
In certain cases, yes, but I'm also a data guy. You know, right. I'll dig into the data, but if I feel there's a clear path, you know, I'll say, okay, let's go. We're going to move forward. But,
right.
You know, that's the thing. There's a board of nine, yeah. And we all have a voice, and we're all representing Spring Hill. So we're going to have some conversations, and we're going to have to make some decisions.
Now, you mentioned that you're a data guy, and you like to, you're crunching numbers and look, you're kind of got the beautiful mind thing going on. You can put the data, it tells you a story. You've got that skill and talent. Was there a person on the board previously that did the same thing?
I don't know that there's a person on the board previously. Some of the people that I've spoken with that I've at least seen some of that. Jonathan Duda was on the board previously.
He's got a cool last name.
Yeah. But I talked to, he's one of the people I talked to when I started looking into running, and he's a data guy. I mean, he was fantastic to talk with. Dan Allen has a lot of great analytical characteristics that he brings to the BOMA. And so those are two, you know, a current and previous.
Right. So you see a lot of, have you seen anything so far? You haven't been privy to documentation or, well, I guess whatever they publish for the public, you can take a look at.
Yeah.
Anything that stands out currently?
I wouldn't say that there's anything that stands out just yet. No. As I start, and I think part of it will be taking the documentation that gets delivered before each of the sessions that we sit in on, but then starting to take that next step as an alderman and make those phone calls and really dig into what I'm looking at and be able to ask those questions to get some, you know, clarifying answers to what I'm seeing. I think that's when it'll start to click.
Yeah, you're going to be able to see it once you get into it and dive. I got to know one thing about how do you manage all this? Because I got a lot going on as well with the stuff I do for Big Dot, the things I do for podcasts and all the other stuff, you know, baseball practice, not coaching any teams like you are, but how do you manage it all? How do you juggle everything and keep a family going and spend time with them?
Yeah, well, you know, that was one of the things right off the bat when I thought about running is sitting down with my wife and looking at and talking with the existing board. So I understood the amount of time that it was going to take. And then we sat down and said, okay, is this the right direction? Is this what we want to do? And, you know, at times where I thought, maybe this isn't the right time, my wife said, no, this is it, that we're going to do this. So the support at home is huge.
Yeah.
You know, she's taxing two of the boys around all over the place, whether it's youth group or they go to 360 Krav Maga.
Do they?
So they got to run over there. And then Spring Hill Hawk soccer, and she homeschools them as well. So
a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, but having that supportive family life is the number one.
Right. What's the ultimate, like, 5-10 year? What do you want to be down the road? Doing down the road?
You know, I love serving the community, so I'm going to take this first 4 years as alderman and just kind of see where that takes me. And then, you know, at the end of the 4 years, it'll be a decision. Do I want to do another 4 years? Do I aspire to do more? I kind of want to see where this goes. I'm generally not a political person.
Right.
So this is new, and I'm gonna dive in.
You're not alluding to anything, but I'll go ahead and ask. Jason, what's your problem?
Well, Jim, I'll tell you, like I said, you know, one of the things that I have started looking at and I want to attack in Spring Hill is cleaning up the litter.
Right.
I've had the opportunity to go out with my boys, to go out with some of the residents and pick up litter. And it's becoming more and more of a problem. And right now in Spring Hill, we have two programs where people can get involved to pick up litter. But with COVID, they died, right. And they haven't been brought back. But that's Cash for Trash, which is a nonprofit, gets paid $75 for every mile of road that they clean up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also sponsoring a road,
right.
You know, getting a business to sponsor a road and keep it clean. But what I want to do is I want to take it a step further and develop a program where people can go to the Spring Hill website and sign up to volunteer. We've got churches on every corner, and most of them probably have youth groups.
Right.
We've got Boy Scouts. We've got people out there that are looking to volunteer and do things, and we can get them out and have them help clean up Spring Hill. Part of that ties into what I talked about with data. As we start to have people in the community report where litter is, gathering that data, and then identifying where are the hardest hit areas. Mm. Why are they the hardest hit areas? Do they have trash cans outside? Do
signs?
They
have trash?
Yeah. Is there trash cans? Do they have a company that's coming to clean it up? Are they cleaning it up? Or what's the problem there? Taking that data and figuring out so that we're not just constantly cleaning, but we're identifying what's the major issue and trying to correct it there as well.
Do you remember when we were kids, and I would assume you're probably about my age, when they had the Do Not Litter campaigns, mm-hmm. you know, all around there? I mean, we had it in Connecticut. I'm sure you probably had it in Michigan. That really stuck with me. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think about what goes through the mind of a person before they just go, nah, I'll just throw it on the ground.
Yeah.
You know? Is it, you think, a younger generation that hasn't been exposed to the propaganda of anti-littering?
There's definitely a mix out there. I mean, we were just at the skate park. We were just at the skate park over the skate park yesterday.
Yeah.
Went outside and just walked the field. I picked up soccer balls, broken skateboards, a door jam, a broken Razor scooter. So yeah. Somebody was obviously at the skate park, broke their scooter, and instead of taking it home, they tossed it into the woods. Mm. I mean, those are things that, I mean, we shouldn't be doing,
yeah.
but I don't want them sitting there, because all it does is it builds up, and people who are moving here see that, and it doesn't look good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess if you get more people that are coming into town, you're going to have these types of issues. The other thing I wanted to ask about is that, how was the official voter turnout? I know that Mayor Graham on our show wanted to, at least, he says, the last time we had an election, it was minuscule. 5% voter turnout mm-hmm. out of registered voters. And he said, I'll take a pie in the face for 10, I believe. I don't know, is that going to happen, or where did we hit?
So he started at 10%, and then right. he dropped down to 8%.
Right.
If I just add the two numbers for mayor, we're over 3,000 votes.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good, though, right?
Yeah, that's good. So that's probably going to be, depending on what our total registered voter count is, we're probably going to be around 9. So we'll hit that 8%, so he'll get a pie in the face. But I was really hoping to hit at least 3,000 with this election.
Right.
And, you know, the city did a fantastic job. If you got your water bill, mm-hmm. there was information in there, where to go to learn about the candidates and where to go to vote. And I think that was fantastic, because everybody gets their water bill.
Right.
Whether or not they open it, that's a different story. But it was a better voter turnout. Overall, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got almost 30,000 registered voters. So we need to do better as a city.
Well, I mean, with that being said, how do you have, you're a data guy. What are other municipalities, small towns like Spring Hill, how are they measuring up in their elections?
I mean, you know, the thing is they're all pretty low. I mean, people don't think it means as much as a general election, but right. it's the opposite. I mean,
get this, more power and more this, control with a local government.
Yeah, this is the most important election. We're making policy decisions that are going to impact your day to day. We talk about traffic. We talk about businesses that are coming here. So we need to identify what's that foundational thing. Why are you not going? Why do you feel that it doesn't make a difference whether you vote for, you know, Vince or Jim for mayor? We need to do more of that.
Well, I mean, you know, I thought that, you know, it was a kind of a testament to awareness, because you saw the other Fuqua, his signs out a lot more prominently, in my opinion. Hageman, on the other hand, was very, I thought he was kind of, in my mind, my perceived that race, I thought Fuqua was going to get it, simply because of the visibility, the top of mind awareness. I was wrong, because I think Hageman actually beat him by quite handily, I believe, right?
I think it was about 500 folks.
Which is significant.
Yeah.
But I mean, with that being said, I mean, you have, it was interesting to me that he won because I felt like he was, and I don't know both either candidates, from a marketing perspective, Fuqua should have gotten it.
And you know, that's the funny thing, because you look at the exposure, the number of signs, the Facebook lives, the all of the different things are fantastic, but it comes down to the person actually getting to the poll and voting.
Yeah.
And you may have people that say, oh yeah, if I would have gone, I would have voted for Vince. Mm. But we need to get the people to the polls, and that's the thing is, you know, you could get one neighborhood or one church group that could swing the election.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just, again, we have to do better in a town of 30,000 registered voters. We got to get more than 3,000 that'll go out.
How are other towns doing that, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, the exposure, like we've started to do, where we're putting information into envelopes. But, you know, we've got to hit people that aren't on social media. We've got to do a better job of that. And then I know some people talk about moving it to the general election.
Yeah,
lining it up with that.
Yeah, that was one of the things brought up with the mayor. Yeah. He tried.
Yeah. And, you know, there's benefits and drawbacks to doing either one. So, but I still think other municipalities, they're seeing lower numbers. I mean, yeah, they're not getting all of their registered voters out to the polls.
Well, it's awareness. It's the importance placed on the general election. People are probably feeling like they've been politicked to death over the past couple of years with everything that's been going on in the larger scheme of things. Mm-hmm. Could be an issue, could be a possibility. I don't know. You're the data guy. You should probably dig into that. The other aspect of it is looking into just how the communication's being conducted. You know, I think when people think of government outreach, communication, they think local cable, right? Mm-hmm. You got the fern planted there and two chairs, really bad lighting, and it's on Comcast local channel 9, right? There might be a better way to do it. And here's what I would actually propose. Do a podcast and pull clips out of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the meetings are podcasted. I don't know. You know?
Well, and the nice thing is, so today the meetings are recorded and they're put on the website.
Right. Video?
The video, yeah. The video.
Are they put out as a podcast product?
It's not a podcast product, no. Should be. The one thing that they do, what is nice is it's easy to navigate the video because it could be a two-hour meeting,
yeah,
three-hour, four-hour meeting. So
sure.
It's broken up into manageable chunks and you can go to where you want to go. But I think all of our meetings need to be like that,
right?
Not just the BOMA, but the other committees, you mm-hmm. know, transportation and advisory, library, economic development. All of those need to have a place on the website so people can know and hear what's going on.
Well, I mean, in order to get attention for this podcast, I have to pull out clips, 30, 60, 90 second pieces of sampled information from each episode and put it out there on, you know, the Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all the different social media free platforms that you can get to some exposure from it. Is the city doing anything like that?
The city will advertise that the meeting is going to take place. Outside of that, there isn't, you know, the creative behind
right.
clips and things like that. That's not being done right now. Some of the aldermen will push some things out there, some tidbits that say, hey, you know, we're going to be talking about this. This is going to be voted on. This is a highly sought after project. You know, come to the meeting or listen to the meeting live stream, trying to drum up interest.
But can people actually contribute in the meeting?
Mm-mm. Well, there's public comment.
Right.
So if you're watching it live stream, no. I mean, there's not. But if you come to the meeting, there's public comment where you can walk up and you have 5 minutes and you talk about whatever you want.
Right. You know what is a good platform for that?
What's that?
Clubhouse. I'm not kidding, man. I mean, because if people aren't getting involved by, you know, I just can't get there for whatever reason, they'll be able to listen in. I think you'd actually stream your meetings on Clubhouse, seriously. Set up a private room. I mean, that's what we're doing right now. And people can chime in and they can get up on stage, so to speak, and have their time. And all you guys can be up on stage and bring people as they raise their hand and everything. It's very interesting. Something to look into.
All right.
You know, I mean, if the technology's there, you might as well use it. And I would suggest, it would be curious to see over the next 4 years if you implemented some sort of a podcast version where people can just digest it in, you don't have to sit there and down and watch it. They could do it while they're working out, while they're walking, going to back and forth to work, on just by listening to it. Maybe you have the ability to jump around, fast forward to different sections and things of that nature, time code different sections where you cover different topics, which is what you're doing already. Put it out as a podcast product, but also, I mean, literally make it like a radio show where you've got someone promoing it. You know, this is what you missed this week on BOMA Live or whatever, Spring Hill BOMA Live, and have different highlights of, you know, whatever it could be. Yeah. Just draw them in. Think from an entertainment type of program director's background.
Something
to think about.
Absolutely.
There's a budget for that. It's got to be. You raised taxes on, well, you didn't, but I think they raised taxes on us the last time. So there's plenty of money to pay for that. It's not that expensive. Okay. I might be able to help.
Sounds
just putting
good.
It out there.
All right.
But awesome, man. How do people get in contact with you and all that fun stuff?
Well, I have a Facebook page for Vote Jason Cox. Mm-hmm. I'll probably keep that. I got votejasoncox.com. That's a website. You can sign up for a newsletter.
Right.
I just got my city email address. So that's jcox@springhilltn.org.
Right.
They can email me there, and I will respond to all email.
Now, there was a guy who was alderman, I want to say, who was very active at doing Facebook Live videos recently. I can't remember how recently, but pretty recently. And I can't remember the guy's name. I apologize. But he was very good at getting on Facebook and doing lives, and people would respond that way. Is that something you plan on doing for yourself as you move forward?
You know,
because you need more things to do.
You know, it's definitely something that I'll probably look into, because I want to engage in the community. I want to find ways to talk with people. And, you know, that's going to be visiting businesses, just talking in the neighborhoods. But, yeah, there's got to be more. Mm-hmm. And that way, getting out on something like Facebook like that would allow people to listen and then prompt them to ask questions, where if I'm just trying to walk around, I may not hit them. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right on, man. So people go follow him at votejasoncox.com, and you'll be able to find all your socials there and all that fun stuff. Well, there you go. Makes it very simple. One central localized place where he is. He's going to be analyzing the data, I'm sure. Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming out. I really do appreciate coming out to the Big Dot compound. And for those of you listening, we're going to start doing this Clubhouse thing. I've set up a room, I guess is what they call it, WP ? What's your problem? Podcast live. And whenever we have people on, we'll start doing clubhouses, and we'll see if we can, Kate, if you got questions, we'll be able to do it live and bring you up here on the board and everything and have a lot of fun doing that. So check us out. What's your problem podcast? Please like, share, subscribe, rate, and review, and all that fun stuff. And once again, Jason, I appreciate it. It was great to finally meet you in person.
I don't think
we have met yet. So
no, we haven't, but I appreciate it.
Thanks for being on, brother.
Thank you.